Well, today is the last Sunday that we're going to be in this small little series called How to Love the Church. And so far we've looked at three different ways. We're going to look at one more. We're going to look at how to love the church by inviting. But I'm sure that there is something that happens that you are all very familiar with. It comes in the mail, usually. Sometimes it's hand-delivered. But it's an envelope, and you open it up, and on the front, the words usually say something like, "You're invited." And it's kind of fun. That feeling washes over you that you've been included. You've been invited. Somebody wants to share something with you. It's kind of fun. You feel valued. Feel kind of good about it. And I think we've all been at that place. You know, we wonder, is it a birthday? Is it a wedding? What is it that I'm invited to? It's kind of mysterious, but at the same time, it's pretty exciting. But maybe not as exciting as this little boy's invitation.
Hello.
Hi, this is Jim from police.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
That was my nearly five-year-old son. He was just telling me that he wanted to invite the police to his birthday party.
Oh.
I'm really sorry. Like, I feel a bit embarrassed.
No, that's okay.
I'm so sorry about that. I'm really sorry.
No, that's all right. We just wanted to make sure everything was okay because he called us a couple of times. But
oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. So long as there's no emergency.
Okay. Yeah, no. We're all safe and all right. Well. But yeah, he had just been telling me he wanted to have a police-themed birthday party. And then I didn't realise he was going to find you. I'm so sorry.
Okay. I don't know if we'll be able to make it, but I'll put it in.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
No worries. What was your name, sorry?
Sarah.
Sarah. Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for that, Sarah.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Police officer knock. Hello, is Zachary here?
Yes.
Zachary.
Police.
Zachary, can we talk to you for a second?
No.
No. We've got something for you.
Where is it?
Happy birthday, Zach. Oh, awesome.
Happy birthday.
You can come in.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So we've got some stuff. Hey, Zach. Hey, Zachary. We've got some stuff outside if you want to come and have a look at it. Maybe a bit of a play around with some of our gear. You be interested in that?
I might. You can come in.
Don't grab my phone. All right.
Hey, Zachary. It's your birthday, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Frogman. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
That last frame, I think, was the best part of the whole thing. But oftentimes, invitations don't go quite as well. But we've been inviting people for years. It's part of our DNA. We're always saying, do you remember when you were little and you were, you know, come on, Mom, Dad, check this out. You know, look at me. Look what I did. We've been doing invitations for a long time. Whenever we wanted to share something that was important to us, we would invite others to share in that experience. You know, we really wanted them to see what we could do. Experts in child development say that little boys are often going to say, look what I can do, to their dad, and they really want their dad to be involved in what they can do, you know? But little girls don't say, "What? Look what I did." They actually ask a different question, and that question is usually, "Am I pretty? Do you like the way I look?" You know, and they could be wearing polka dots and stripes and any kind of a ghastly outfit that you can imagine that they put on themselves, but they want to know from mom and dad's point of view, mostly dad's point of view, if you approve, if you will come into that world with them. Of course, as we get older, our invitations become less and less spontaneous. And maybe the reason for that is because too often we've been rejected. Kind of like Sally.
It's the great pumpkin. He's rising up out of the pumpkin patch. What happened? Did I faint? What did he leave us? Did he leave us any toys?
I was robbed. I spent the whole night waiting with the great pumpkin, but I could have been out for tricks or treats.
Fury in a woman scorned, haven't you?
Yes, I guess I have.
Well, that's nothing compared to the fury of a woman who has been cheated out of tricks or treats.
And you know, the amazing thing is, next year, she'll go back and sit in that same pumpkin patch because Linus has invited her, and she has every intent of trying to honor him. The point of this is that sometimes we have been rejected, and too many times. People have not shared our exuberance for our event or that thing that we love. You know, oftentimes, even children, when they have said, you know, "Look at me, look what I did," and mom and dad just go, yeah, that's nice, honey. Just don't bother me. I've got other things to do. Eventually, when you get that too many times, you stop asking. You stop inviting people to share in your experiences because you're just afraid you're going to get rejected, or you're afraid that somebody isn't going to share your exuberance, or they're not even going to share your belief systems, kind of like Sally here. Now, I don't want to sound like all invitations are met with disdain, because they're not. There are many positive things that happen when we invite people to share our experience. They are not always going to say thanks, but no thanks. Sometimes they are going to really embrace what's going on. When we invite someone to share our experiences, that we may gain a new perspective. You know, we may see things in a different way. When we bring somebody along on our path with us, or we invite them into our belief systems, we may gain a new ally. We may even be kind of like this boy from Louisiana who tried to invite somebody, was rejected, but gained something in the process.
The HL Bourgeois Braves. Dakota Nelton goes to school here, and he says the school is supposed to stand for bravery, care, and happiness. But when Dakota did a scary thing, he asked a girl to be his first date ever to the homecoming dance. But he was devastated.
So I hate to bring back an awkward moment, but what was it like to be rejected?
It was actually a pretty tough moment, just standing in a small circle with that one shake in the head. And you just gotta find your way out of that circle. It's hesitating.
It's a video that's gaining thousands of views on Facebook. A homecoming proposal gone wrong. The girl saying no. The laughs of dozens of kids looking on. Even stepping on his poster he made himself.
That's what made me walk away. I didn't want to be a part of it.
The next Monday, the extraordinary happened.
We're going to make sure he dances.
Right, we're going to make sure he's on the dance floor dancing.
Coming from an unexpected group in the school.
Let's get a group of girls together and ask him to show that him that he's loved and worthy and deserves to be going to like homecoming with somebody.
13 girls, including cheerleaders, held up posters and proposed to Dakota to ask him to go to the homecoming dance.
I felt like the one of the popular kids in school, which I'm really not.
There he is in the middle, Dakota, feeling like the luckiest guy in the world.
So it's weird how the first date is like so many girls at once.
And knowing that he does have friends, they have bravery, care, and happiness.
Alexa. Sometimes when you invite, you get way more than what you expected, in a positive way. But invitations are risky. But yet we keep inviting. We keep asking people to attend parties or to go to movies with us or to eat out with us or to take a walk with us or go read an article or participate in a rally or join our cause or understand 1,000 things that we want to share. We continually invite, even though it's a risk. We take those risks. But we tend to be a little bit slower in taking that risk when it comes to inviting people to church. Is the risk greater when we invite somebody to church than when we invite them to, say, homecoming? Maybe. When we invite somebody to church, when we ask them to come to church with us, they might see that, well, we're not perfect, and we have an image to uphold. We want them to see us as we want them to see us, and maybe they will see that we have flaws. Maybe they will come to church and they will see that our church doesn't do things that other churches do, and that may set them off, or that may cause them to be offended. Maybe they might not like our music. They might not see us as friendly as we think we are. Maybe they will see us as just a group of a bunch of little cliques here or there, and you know, we stay true to our friends, but boy, we really don't talk to anybody else. And we really think we're friendlier than that. Maybe the preacher will preach on tithing. We don't want that. We might disagree. They might disagree with us. They might not understand our scripture. They might might be embarrassed. I mean, especially when somebody says, you know, please turn the Bible to Hezekiah, and we don't even know where Hezekiah is. Of course, it's not a book of the Bible, but we're not sure of that. Maybe we won't meet their expectations. Maybe they've been burned by another church. Maybe they used to go to church, but now they just think that they're too old for it or too worldly, too knowledgeable. They don't need church. Church is just a crutch. So rather than risk being rejected for all of those and many more reasons, the unfortunate thing is that all of the focus on the negatives can talk us right out of inviting people to come to church. It's just too big of a risk. And so we fall into a comfortable path, and that path is called the path of inactivity. And yet there are some really good reasons to invite people to come to church. Did you know that 80% of first-time visitors come to church because they were invited by somebody that they know and not through a pastoral call or an official evangelistic program of the church? 80% of people come, first-time people come to church because they were invited and they were brought by a friend. That's how churches grow. And if you don't just invite them to come to church, but if you actually bring them to church, they are 5 times more likely to come back a second time. When you invite someone to church, you give them a chance to hopefully dispel any preconceived ideas that they may have about church or about people who attend church. When you invite somebody to church, you may give them an opportunity to rethink the beliefs that they have. Beliefs about God and about the Bible and about Jesus and about Christians in general. When you invite someone to church, you help to remove their spiritual loneliness. And there are lots of people out there who are alone in this world spiritually. They think they've got the world by the tail, because they've got the investments and the friends and things, but there's that spiritual hole that they have been denying. But by you inviting them, they confront that. And when you invite someone to church, it can really be a blessing to you. You can see things through the eyes of a newcomer. Boy, if you really want to find out if the church is doing the best job that we can possibly do, invite someone who's never been in this building to come in and listen to what they say. If they say things like, well, how in the world do I get to the bathroom? Then that might be a clue that maybe we need some better signs. Or if somebody says, you know, this really worked for me, but that didn't work for me. We then can, as a church, learn from that. Because we're comfortable with things the way that they are. We don't think about this congregation or this building from a visitor's point of view or a newcomer's point of view. We might find out that there are some things that we could be doing better. You see, when you invite someone to come to church with you, you begin an incredible journey. Now, I know that there are some people who are not very adventurous, and they might say, I just don't want to go on a spiritual adventure. I just kind of like things the way they are. I don't want to be adventurous. But think about it from this point of view. Adventure is what helps us to grow. And so if I invite somebody, they might ask some questions. They might not know what we're doing. They might not know what this tank is behind me and why we call it a baptistry. They might not know why we take communion every single Sunday. And they might start to ask questions, and they might start to ask you those questions. And now you're on a spiritual adventure. And the adventure is great because then you get a chance to say, you know, that's a really great question. I think I'd like to really learn this with you. Of course, the easiest thing in the world to say is, you know, let's ask Mike. But then that takes all the fun out of the adventure. People may need to know a little bit about this thing called forgiveness or this word grace that's been thrown about in church. Maybe they hear the word righteousness or atonement, and they don't have any idea what that word means. And now you have an opportunity to deepen your friendship with somebody as you learn together. When you invite someone to church, you are actually not just enjoying an adventure, but you are fulfilling the great commission that our Lord and Savior has given us. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20? Some of you have this memorized, but it's some of the very last words that Jesus gave to his apostles. He said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that concludes the book of Matthew. You see, the very point of why we are Christians is so that we will invite, so that we will bring people into the family of God, so that we will make disciples. That's our call. And it isn't a program of the church, and it isn't something that is done, you know, at the end of every sermon. It is something that is done every day, every moment, every opportunity that God has given us. Besides, when we invite someone to church, not only are we fulfilling the Great Commission, but we are fulfilling the example of Jesus Christ, who called all people unto himself, as Scripture says. And he invites all of us to die to self, so that we might leave our life of sin and come to him just as we are. But most of all, when we invite somebody to come to church with us, we're showing just how much we love the body of Christ. We're showing how much we love the family of God because we want other people to participate in it. We show them how important it is to be part of a fellowship of believers. How valuable it is to receive support and encouragement from people of like precious faith. I don't know how many times I have heard, as people are going through a difficult time in life, whether it's a death in the family, loss of a job, loss of income, whatever, as they're laying in a hospital bed, time after time after time, I hear people say, "I don't know how those who don't have faith in God get through these times. I don't know how they do it either. But when you have the opportunity to bring someone along with you into this spiritual journey, you give them an opportunity to know that love, to know that support, and to know that encouragement. So one of the greatest ways that you can love your church is invite somebody. Bring them with you. Share the opportunity. So who's going to come with you next Sunday? I invite you to invite somebody else to come to church. We have a song that we're going to sing as we wrap up this sermon. The song is just designed to remind us that God has given us a commission, and he's not going to fulfill it in any other way except through us. We have been called, we have been invited to accept Jesus as our Savior. We need to bring people into that presence of God so that they can hear that same invitation to accept him as their Lord in Christ.